let's get to our guest, Jenny Marsh, Bloomberg's Greater China editor on the government team, looking at China's Communist Party Congress and the speech by the General Secretary, Xi Jinping, yesterday. Jenny, thanks very much for being with us and taking the time. From a market standpoint and from a growth standpoint in the economy, we had kind of focused a little bit in the days leading up to this on analysts saying that, you know, that it was possible that President Xi would focus on both development and security at the expense of previous general secretaries who always said that economic development was number one. Now, he didn't exactly do that because he did emphasize that growth is still in focus. But he did talk so much about security that I think the lines are a bit blurred, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, national security took a lot of prominence that we haven't seen before in previous speeches. So this is clearly something which is gaining ground. But I think, you know, most analysts were relieved to see that she did still put development as the top priority. So for now, you know, that is the government's focus. But for sure, you know, national security is coming to growing prominence. And I think that speaks to sort of the security state that she has installed during his decade in power, and also sort of the growing external threats they see as well. You know, this is a party which is sort of paranoid about foreign forces and the influence of, you know, external governments on the security of its rule.
And speaking of that, let's talk about what happened with Taiwan as well. President Xi saying they're going to continue to strive for peaceful reunification.
Yeah, on Taiwan, you know, he basically reaffirmed the government's position, which is that they are determined to unify with Taiwan at some point. Probably the most striking line was that, you know, he said this is a Chinese issue to be settled by Chinese people, which was a not-so-veiled swipe at the U.S. Taiwan's become one of the biggest flashpoints between the world's two biggest economies, particularly over the past sort of 12 months. So that was kind of Xi trying to sort of lay down the law there a little bit, I think.
And so many interesting aspects, but another was, you know, China's chest out on the global stage, and that the Chinese system is a model that can compete with the West, with the post-war system that we've had with multilateralism and democracy and free markets. You know, I know that didn't get as much applause as the comments about Taiwan and that we would never renounce the use of force and such. But is this something that do we see a lot of countries that want to model their societies after China?
I kind of found this the most interesting part of the speech, actually, because last week, you'd had the Biden administration coming out and saying that China is the only country with the intention and the ability to reshape the world order. And here is Xi kind of saying, yeah, you know, we do, and we're going to be open about it. I think you do see other countries in the developing world who are interested in what China has to offer. You know, we keep seeing this at the UN when these votes come up, and, you know, China is increasingly able to swing more votes when it comes to issues like Xinjiang than the US is. There was a vote that was put to the UN Human Rights Council earlier this month, and the Human Rights Council voted not to debate human rights abuses in Xinjiang, even though the UN had just published this big report condemning what it said could be crimes against humanity in the region. So, yeah, I think China...
But is that the dangling of goodies from China and the investment and all that more so than the model of its governance?
I think it's a combination. I think, you know, no doubt the billions spent during the Belt and Road Project has been very attractive to developing world countries that need infrastructure. I also think, you know, a lot of these countries are not straightforward democracies, and they like the fact that China isn't there to lecture them on sort of adopting a Western-style model, and there isn't this sort of bad feeling left over from colonialism. And I think we kind of saw that playing out a little bit when it came to Russia earlier this year, too, to a lesser extent, but because, you know, the US and G7 sort of expected a lot of global South countries to follow its course in enforcing sanctions and sort of taking quite a strong line on Russia's invasion of the Ukraine. And many of these countries just didn't see the need to just sort of, you know, obey basically, you know, what the US was dictating its position should be on this. So I think China's much more sort of relaxed position, I suppose, or like this idea that we respect your government's way of doing things and its own independent position appeals to many of these countries.
Jenny, I want to talk more about, you know, when we're going to see China open up and move away from COVID zero, because she praised the no tolerance approach but didn't really mention it again. But you look at the pictures and the images, no masks.
Well, yeah, exactly. So he praised his policy, didn't include anything forward-looking on it. She wasn't masked. His sort of elite, most elite leaders, past and present, were not masked. Everybody further back was masked. So it's kind of symbolic, really, isn't it, of how the COVID zero probably is playing out across China. But I think the fact there was no forward-looking element, people are trying to sort of read into that maybe for some signs of hope. But certainly it's becoming a growing point of social and economic tension. I mean, there was a protest banner unfurled just days before the Congress in Beijing, you know, saying we don't want PCR tests, we want to be able to eat. You know, this is something which now, after 3 years, people are feeling intolerant towards. How widespread that intolerance is, it's hard to gauge.
From a market standpoint, is this a positive? He called the tech sector a prime driving force of development.
Yeah, I think it has to be, right? The tech sector's had such a hard time in the past few years. But she made it clear that, you know, innovation, research and self-reliance are a key driver now for the tech sector. So I think with that guidance, if tech firms are working towards those goals, you have to imagine that the policies are going to be favorable towards them.
And just tell us, I guess, more broadly, what stood out to you? I mean, we also saw Xi talk about the green goals, for example.
He did talk about green goals, and, you know, to his credit, this is one of his big areas of success. You know, the war in Ukraine has sort of thwarted some of those plans, and it's turned China back towards coal probably more than it would have liked to have done. But Xi has made clear that he's still committed to that. So I think that's an extremely positive sign, not just for China, but for the rest of the world. But I think the big message that Xi was delivering was continuity. And that makes a lot of sense for a man who is not about to step down.
He talked about dangerous storms ahead. Is that mainly in regard to confrontation with Europe and the U.S.?
Yes, I think so. I mean, I think the Communist Party at the moment is very focused on its relationship and its competition with the U.S. And I think that was the outward-looking message. Here's a strong China, but one that, you know, is facing many external threats.
Jenny, thank you very much for being with us. Jenny Marsh, Bloomberg Greater China Editor on the Bloomberg Government Team.